Welcome back, everyone. We're going to look at Luke chapter 4 again. And today we're going to pick up in verse 22. This is in the middle of Jesus going to his hometown and telling everyone there that the word of the prophet Isaiah was being fulfilled that very day in himself. So verse 22. And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself.' We have heard you, what we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well." And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When they heard these things, all the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of a hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. And he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent, and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. So these two stories go well together because they are both taking place at a synagogue. And if you imagine that they took place a week apart, they're on one Sabbath and then a consecutive Sabbath weekend. We're going to start, though, with the hometown synagogue, where they initially seem to respond positively to what Jesus has to say. But then they say, "Well, wait a minute, isn't this Joseph? And or isn't this Joseph's son?" And perhaps they had a sense of ownership, like a sense of, "Hey, man, he's a hometown boy. Let's see some of those magic tricks he did in other places." Jesus senses that they're not particularly interested in the message that he might have to bring them, but they're more interested in seeing signs. And very often in the Gospels, a desire or a demand for a sign is a negative thing. In fact, it's worth noting that Satan, in his temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, was in a sense demanding signs. So there's a hint here that these demand for signs are really inspired by Satan, and we're going to see as the story unfolds how that pans out. This scene, where he comes to his hometown and his hometown crowd rejects him, opens up this larger theme, and Jesus even he even underlines it by saying, "Well, you know, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown." Well, what does he mean? Well, you think about it. Moses delivered delivered a Jew from an Egyptian, and the next day when he tried to stop fellow Jews from fighting, they rejected him. He wasn't accepted by his own people. Elijah was on the run in his own home territory of the northern kingdom, wasn't accepted. Jeremiah was a prophet to Jerusalem and was not accepted. And so Jesus is saying this is a large biblical theme, and that whole biblical theme of prophets not being accepted when they come to their own is going to be fulfilled in me when my own people reject me in general and in the majority. So there's this great irony that he has come to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, and even in his own hometown, he's not accepted. And then notice what he mentions. He mentions Elijah and Elisha, the two central prophets, the most important prophets in the book of 1 and 2 Kings, and he underlines the fact that these prophets weren't accepted in those kingdoms, and many of their most significant miracles were done for outsiders. One, Elijah, the widow of Zarephath, and then Elisha healing the prophet or the military man Naaman. He was a foreigner, he was a Gentile, healing him of leprosy and not healing people there at home. So Luke is highlighting two Gentiles who, A, received the message, and B, came to believe in God, came to believe in the God of Israel. And it's worth noting that Luke himself was a Gentile, and so he in particular is going to note and underline this theme of the word of God being accepted by Gentiles and not necessarily by the home crowd. And it's also worth paying attention to the fact that Jesus fulfills prophetic words. He quotes Isaiah, but he also fulfills prophetic types. In other words, like Elijah, he was rejected by the people of the northern kingdom of Israel, and he goes to Gentiles where he is accepted, and Jesus is very similar. And this opens up a theme through the rest of the Gospel of Luke that connects Jesus to Elijah and Elisha. So it's fruitful to go back and interweave readings of these two sections because they'll reinforce one another and give us light into what Jesus is doing. And then notice their response. I suggested that maybe there was a satanic rhyme in their demand for a sign and Satan's demand for a sign. Notice how they respond. It's this hair trigger animosity. It's this immediate fury at Jesus' suggestion that they reject prophetic words. What's going on here? Is it challenging their sense of entitlement as related to Jesus as the hometown boy? Is it challenging their sense of entitlement as the people of God? I do think it's probably tapping a deep nerve that Gentiles have often persecuted the Jews, and maybe they're deeply offended by that. But the bottom line is it's a really intensely emotional response. And notice what they want to do. They want to take him to the edge of the town, and they want to throw him down. Well, that's precisely what Satan challenged Jesus to do. Go to the temple, throw yourself down, God will save you and everyone will follow you. So I think there's another suggestion there that they are following in these, or maybe even inspired by, the attitude of the devil. You might even say that their demand for a sign is like Satan's demand to make bread to prove who you are. So I think there's a lot going on here where Luke wants us to see a rhyme between the temptations in the wilderness and what the hometown crowd is saying. As we continue to Capernaum, this same theme of the devil and his accusations and his temptations continues. So Jesus travels 25 miles to Capernaum. That's about 460 feet down. Because Nazareth was up in a hill territory, and so Jesus has to go a long way down, and it's a Sabbath away. So we're here in the synagogue on another Sabbath. And first of all, notice that people note the authority with which Jesus teaches. And I would just suggest that this is probably not because Jesus is like histrionic and emotional and yelling in his preaching. I think that people are simply struck with the weight by which the weight that his words carry. He says something, he says it clearly and powerfully, and I don't think Jesus needed to be emotional in his presentation. He could just speak with clarity. Notice too that rabbis, sort of way they would teach is they would always say, well, Rabbi so-and-so said this, and Rabbi so-and-so said this, and Rabbi so-and-so said this. They would quote people. Jesus' practice is very different. He comes along and says, I tell you, right? He's not speaking to them by piling up authorities to back up his point. He is simply cutting through all the red tape of all kinds of competing interpretations and saying, this is what the Word of God says, because of course, he is the Word of God. And then notice, relating to this theme of temptation, that there is an unclean spirit right in the middle of the synagogue. Now, often synagogues were modeled on the temple, and the temple itself is a microcosm. It's the universe in miniature. And so part of what is being suggested here is right in the heart of Israel's worship, there is this unclean spirit. And how come the synagogue in Capernaum let this happen? Did they know this guy had this problem? Not all of that is clear, but it's pretty clear that Jesus has come not just to deliver Gentiles, but to to get right to the heart of the worship and the prayer life of the people of God and show there's something corrupt there and to drive it out. So, you know, he's bringing the holiness of God right into the heart of their worship. And of course, we find out later that he does this on the Sabbath in part to show what the Sabbath is about. And they are offended that he violates their sense, their interpretation of the Sabbath. But Jesus is actually fulfilling the purpose of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is about holiness. Remember, the commandment in the Ten Commandments is remember the Sabbath day to make it holy. He's making it holy by making this man holy, right? That is a fulfillment of the Sabbath day and synagogue worship. Notice, too, that the demon, the unclean spirit, recognizes Jesus and challenges his identity. Because remember, the devil said, well, if you really are the Son of God, here, this spirit recognizes who he is and doesn't want to have anything to do with him. So it's a reminder that there is a cosmic battle going on here in the scriptures and here in the gospels, that Jesus is coming to engage in this cosmic battle that began in the garden in the beginning when the serpent misled Eve and Adam rebelled, and that opened up this spiritual conflict. And Jesus is coming as the last Adam to win a final war against the serpent and to truly set his people free. So may we know Jesus in our lives bringing holiness, which is the fulfillment of Sabbath, the fulfillment of worship. May he cleanse us from the darkness of the enemy, and may he set us free from the opposition in our hearts to the Word of God. Amen.